Before we get stuck into this week's episode, I just want to say a massive thank you to Jordan and the team at Previsible for sponsoring this very episode that you are listening to right now. Previsible helps brands understand and grow their visibility across AI platforms. So you're not just present, but you are actually chosen. To find out more, visit previsible.io or follow the link in the show notes. Are you aware of your own biases? We've all got them. You know, you judge someone who picks mayonnaise over ketchup for your chips, or you look in utter disbelief when someone has the audacity to add milk to their coffee when you know the best way and the only way is to have it with no milk at all. Got you thinking now, haven't I? Joking aside, this week we are talking about biases and how they show up in the SEO industry. I am joined by Lydia Fox, Head of SEO at Serpify, who is focused on off-page strategies for your money, your life clients that help build brand authority, trust, and sustainable search growth. During our conversation, she speaks openly about the times where her opinion hasn't been asked or respected, or she's felt like there's been a certain judgment because she is focused on off-page SEO. We talk about why it shows up in the SEO industry, how it can also lead to imposter syndrome, and the impact this has had on her personally. Make sure to stick around to the end because she gives practical strategies for dealing with people's biases. So things that we can do when we feel like we're either being judged or wrongfully being put in this box that we don't belong in. You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Of course you are, with your hosts, myself, Sarah McDowell, and the Zen Queen, that is of course Tasmin Sulaiman. If you enjoy what me and Tasmin are doing with the podcast, you can support us. You can give us a one-off donation which costs the same as your favourite beverage from your favourite beverage shop. And a massive thank you to everyone who has already done that. Also, make sure that wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are following us and you've given us a review because we all know how those algorithms work. Right, shall we crack on? Shall I play you the lovely conversation that I had with Lydia Fox? Hello and a very warm welcome to Lydia.
Hi.
Hello. I got myself a bit confused then because I said hello and it completely derailed me.
I thought that was just something new that was done with the kids, maybe.
Hello to you, Lydia.
Hello.
Hello to our listeners as well. Maybe I can make it a thing.
Yeah.
Striving for that. Always trying to make things a thing when they're not really a thing.
Yeah. I think I've definitely done that several times where I've merged certain words together and then I've just stuck with it. I was watching The Shining last night and for some reason decided to call it The Shinning.
The Shinning.
And that's just stuck now. That's what it will be known to me forever.
The Shinning. Does anyone get shinned in The Shining?
No. I mean, that is...
That's always one of those films that I've stayed away from because I'm a bit of a wuss, if I'm completely honest.
I too am a wuss, but I feel like I need to finally get over being a wuss, so I'm trying to scare myself into, exposure therapy.
Well, when me and Tash are watching different bits and bobs on Netflix, we usually go for, something that's gritty, a drama, a true, a crime sort of situation. And there was this advert for something called The Outsider. Yeah. And we watched the clips and I suggested that could be our next watch to Tash. And when she did a bit of delving, like going on the Rotten Tomatoes and all of those different places. She was like, "Sarah, this is a horror. Are you sure?"
And I was very scary. I've seen it. It's not
the
scary.
The Outsider.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Okay, maybe I'm less of a wuss than I think I am.
I have had, I'm going to be very vulnerable and open on the podcast right now, but it freaked me out. And I had a couple of nights waking up in cold sweats. And what I really hate is when it's like the dead of the night, everyone else is asleep and you wake up and then you hear noises and you freak yourself out. And then I'm trying to not wake Tash, but willing that she wakes up to like get water or something. It's all a thing.
Yeah, I grew up in a village in the middle of nowhere, so any minor creak, I was absolutely convinced I was about to be murdered in the middle of the night.
So
that's why I stopped watching horrors and I'm now going back to it.
The exposure therapy. Well, it sounds like you are more on the journey than me, because it sounds like you can handle a lot more than what I can. So well done. Okay, so let's crack on. Unfortunately, Lydia, we're not talking about horror, how to build up your tolerance to being scared. I mean, that could be a topic for the podcast, because being an SEO is very scary, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
Bit of a segue there. But let's get a bit of background and a bit of an understanding of how you ended up specialising in off-page SEO.
So I'm going to be honest, I kind of fell into it. So when I first came out of university, I graduated in 2020, and as we all know, 2020, there was no jobs around whatsoever. And I got very lucky that I was hired at a SEO agency that primarily focused on off-page SEO and content. And it was a very small agency. I think there was only 5 or 6 of us at the time, and stayed there for years. I was there for 5 years in the end, and sort of grew with the agency, but taught myself technical and on-page SEO the time I was there. But because the agency was focused on off-page SEO, that's kind of where the majority of my workday kind of focused on. So I then ended up realising, oh, I actually really like this. I find this really interesting. So I've kind of continued to stay with that as my specialism, and can want to continue to sort of propel my career to be off page, because I find it the most fascinating part of it.
And that's what's important, isn't it? We spend a lot of our time working, so we need to be doing stuff that we actually enjoy doing. And what's quite interesting is I've had a few conversations now through the podcast or going to conferences or meeting other professionals. No one has ever planned to get into SEO. Always just happened. So for me, I studied dance at uni. So how I got from dance to SEO, I mean, there's another episode for the podcast. I'm just enticing people, aren't I? Left, right and centre with other episodes. But yeah, no one has ever planned from the get-go to be an SEO. I mean, it might be different now because, yeah, as time goes on, careers change, industries change. So I imagine maybe there's a more of an awareness, but maybe it's because like people who are practicing and they're in it, they tend to have come, well, they tend to be a certain age where maybe SEO wasn't really known when they were looking at careers. And I mean, there was a point where I had dial-up internet when I was a youngster.
I do remember dial-up. I have had one of my friends actually a few months ago message me and asked me if I'd talk to their sort of younger sibling, because they had shown an interest in becoming an SEO and were curious what to study at uni, which would help them. And I was astounded, because like you, everyone I talk to gets into SEO after never ever planning to be in it.
Just happens.
Maybe it is because, you know, it's the generation that grew up with Google, grew up with
yeah,
you know, social media and whatnot.
Basically, we're just old.
Yeah, don't remind me.
And I do wonder, because whenever someone mentions dial-up, the little tune goes on in my head instantly.
Yeah. And I remember my mum kicking me off the computer so that she could ring my grandma when I was growing up.
Yes, yes. Because I remember being at school, coming back, and then you wanting to chat to your friends on MSN, MSN chat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone in the family wants to make a call. It was like, no, I want to chat to my people on MSN. And I always remember that MSN would show what you were listening to music-wise. Yeah. So you were always super choosy with what you were listening to. Back in the day, I was an emo kid. So I couldn't have like the Spice Girls or ABBA coming on. Do you know?
See, I think my first induction into kind of SEO was like editing backgrounds for like Bebo and MySpace to not have watermarks on them, going into the HTML and removing the bits of code that had watermarks at like 12 years old. And I think that is the first ever step I took into the tech world.
That is such a great hack. Straight away. You're like, yeah, those watermarks, you didn't want them, but you didn't want to pay for them.
Yeah.
Funny. Oh, right. So now that we've taken a bit of a step into memory lane, let's talk about bias. Because when we were chatting about you coming onto the podcast, you wanted to touch on how you feel that there can sometimes be a bias against people that work in off-page SEO. So can you talk to us more about that?
It's sort of something that I've experienced quite a lot when sort of having conversations with people. Like, I am full stack SEO. Like, I can do content, I can do on-page, I can do technical. I'm just specialised in off-page. And I found that there's been quite a lot of occurrences where people seem to have not wanted to hear my opinion as much because they've just sort of said, oh, well, yeah, you're an off-page SEO. And in their brain, they're expecting an off-page SEO to just be a link builder rather than sort of having those skills and understanding of how the SERPs work, how sort of the more technical side of stuff, internal linking strategies and all of that kind of stuff. And it's something that I think over the last year has improved with sort of the stance of AI visibility and citations have become much more important. The sort of digital PR has been much more integrated into SEO practices. The bias is slowly shrinking, but it is still very much there that people don't seem to respect your opinion as much on other non-off-page topics. In my opinion, from being off page, because they seem to think that nobody knows that it's easy. Like, it's like everyone knows it's difficult to do link building, but sort of people seem to underestimate the actual level of knowledge that about the grander scheme of SEO that a lot of off page SEOs have.
So what's coming up for me is that they're kind of putting you in this box. So yes, because they see you as off-page, a link builder, that is your box. And then anything else in the realms of SEO, search, visibility, it's kind of like they can't see through their bias, or they just don't understand and they think, ah, well, Lydia, this is the box that she's in, and so she won't have the understanding, the experience to have an opinion on this. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, no, absolutely. That is kind of it. It's almost like you've been typecast as an SEO, if we're going like using a movie analogy of told that because you're an off-page SEO that you are an off-page SEO and that you can't do any more than that. I know I found that quite difficult when I left my old agency and started looking for a new role. Kind of, again, was that typecasting of people underestimating skills within full stack sort of SEO, and is expecting to just only be able to build links. rather than actually considering the strategy side of it, how dangerous it can be, and all of the other bits that go alongside with it.
Well, definitely. Like, there's strategic elements to it. There's the bigger picture side.
Yeah.
There's the how you even go about doing it. So there's lots of transferable skills there that can be placed into other areas, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's also not just that. It's like, if you're doing off-page SEO well, you're also considering things such as site architecture. And you're considering... Yes. Because if you've got sites where pages are losing sort of rankings and look like they're going to be cold, you're then having to consider, okay, well, should we 301 redirect this into a similar page? You have to then be included in sort of cannibalization conversations. Like, there's a lot more to it than just, oh, you're doing links. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of underestimate about sort of when you are actually doing real off-page SEO, the level of expertise that is actually required.
Another thing that's come into my brain is accessibility as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is a way that you can link build in an accessible way that isn't... So, yeah, just another example, I suppose, of how it's more than just what is on the page, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, it's not just links, it's PR, it's social signals, it's it's anything infrastructure-wise that isn't happening within the site, but then you still need to be included in those conversations of what's happening on the site. Because the amount of times I've seen sites cull pages during content culls or whatever, and they've had, I've built hundreds of fantastic links to them, and then they've just gone completely down the drain. Because
that must be so frustrating.
Yeah, of course. You want to smack your head on your desk.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And it's just the whole, like, you understand why people do content audits and they decide to get rid of content, but you can't just, you've got to look at the bigger picture of, like, okay, what are these pages doing? What signals are being pointed there? All of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, you're so true. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, it's more just like people don't seem to value the expertise.
Yes.
And sort of underestimate more than anything the level of knowledge that is actually needed. And even though you are an off-page SEO, that doesn't mean you're not an SEO.
I hear you. How does this affect you personally?
It means that I get quite imposter syndrome-y, where I sort of underestimate. I see people stop when I will be in a conversation with someone, say at an event like Brighton SEO. Once I mention that I'm an off-page SEO, their brain, you can almost see it behind their eyes, that their brain kind of turns off. It's happened to me on numerous occasions. And then you kind of feel like, oh, am I missing something? Is there something that I just am not being told? Is there some secret group chat of I hate off-page SEOs?
I'm
sure there isn't. That's...
Yes.
But, you know, in your brain, you begin thinking, God, what have I done? Like, and then you kind of feel like your voice isn't being heard as much. Or, you know, maybe I'm not actually as good an SEO as I should be. Because this is my specialism and I'm not doing all this technical query logs and all of that kind of stuff on a daily basis.
So I suppose there's like the idea of like a hierarchy structure in SEO jobs that, like, to be, I don't know, to have a, to people go, wow, is when someone's more technical.
Yeah.
And when you say, ah, oh, I'm off page, it feels like it's lower
bottom
tier.
Of the barrel.
And I mean, imposter syndrome, it's a horrible thing anyway, because you, with imposter syndrome, there's a lot of self-doubt that can leak into it and make you feel in a certain way. So I imagine that based on a few reactions that you've had in your experience, that just kind of snowballs it, doesn't it, and adds to it even more.
Yeah, I think this Brighton SEO from April 2026 was probably the best that I've had in regards to, that's how I know that the bias is changing. Because, you know, people have been more inclined to listen to me. Maybe I've just been more forceful with what I'm saying. I don't know. But people assertive. Seem to be more assertive. That's probably a better word. Not forceful. I'm not shoving information down people's throats physically. But it's definitely better. And I was having a lot of conversations at the April Brighton SEO about how not every SEO knows how to do every part of SEO. Mm-hmm. There are some heavily technical SEOs that only really know technical SEO, but if you put them in front of a content strategy, they wouldn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And I think that's something that a lot of people that suffer with, I think SEO more than anything is something which is quite easy to get imposter syndrome in as an industry.
Definitely.
Because there is so many different scales of it. No one actually really knows if what they're doing is working long term. You know, it's all hypothetical. It's all, it depends. That you kind of have to give yourself a bit of a break sometimes.
Definitely. And just want to touch on a couple of things that you said there, that we don't know someone's specialisms and we don't know someone's expertise until we have a conversation with them.
Exactly.
Because it might be that they're specialising in this thing right now, but actually when you have a conversation, they've actually got a treasure trove of other things that they can bring to the table, both in an SEO sense, but broader on a digital communication, visibility, all of that stuff. So it's hard, isn't it? Because we all have certain biases. And I suppose the thing here is, and we'll probably get more into this after the break in part two, but the whole thing with a bias is that sometimes we can be so blind to it that we don't even know that it's a bias.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly. 100%.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll dive more into this bias, and you'll also be giving our listeners some practical advice that they can implement to help with this.
Yes.
So join. Yes. See, assertive, not forceful. Yes. Join us for part two. It's your pal Sarah here, just popping on to let you know how you can support the podcast. For the same price as a Starbucks, Costa, or your favorite local coffee shop coffee, you can give us a one-off tip or a monthly donation. All you got to do is follow the link in the show notes. And also, have you subscribed to the podcast? If not, why the heck not? If you do subscribe, you receive notifications whenever a new episode is available and ready to listen to. And while you're there, why not leave us a cheeky 5-star review or rating?
Most marketing teams are still optimizing for clicks, but the way people discover brands has already changed. Today, decisions are happening inside AI platforms like ChatGPT, Google's AI Overviews, and Gemini, where there's no ranking page, no 10 blue links, and often no click at all. So the question becomes, is your brand showing up when decisions are being made? At Previsible, we help companies answer that question and, more importantly, act on it. We work with growth teams to understand their visibility across AI platforms, identify where they're being cited or ignored, and build strategies across content, technical SEO, and authority to actually move that presence. Because this isn't just about traffic anymore. It's about influence. If you want to understand how your brand shows up in AI-driven search and where the opportunities are, you can get a clear view in just a few minutes. Go to previsible.io. Again, that's previsible.io to get started.
Are you still with us, Lydia?
I am. I have not done a runner.
That would be very awkward if one of my guests just at halftime was just... Halftime? It's not a game.
Halftime.
Halftime. I also call, so Tash likes to watch football because she supports Arsenal. And for the first couple of games, I used to call half time an interval.
you can tell that as a your dance at uni. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm like, oh, is it time for the interval? Oh, funny. Thank you for being so open and transparent on this episode. I think this is a really important conversation around bias, because I know that we're talking about your experience with being off page and the biases that you've had, but I'm guessing there's lots of people who are listening to this episode and they can kind of relate because they've had bias depending on what industry they're in, the level that they're at, all of that certain stuff. So I think this is a really important conversation, and it's a good thing to bring up about being aware of bias and checking yes. that. One thing that came up for me is there are a lot of spam artists out there in the SEO world, not there just is. In the backlink off page, but also in all sorts of areas. Like, you get so many emails that someone can write all this content for $5 and it's going to rank page one for all of this wonderful stuff. Or we always get people wanting to grow our YouTube channel and yeah. it will cost this much and all of that sort of stuff. So I bet that sort of spam side has made this kind of situation worse, hasn't it?
I think if you work in SEO, every single one of us has had that email with a spreadsheet full of domains from someone that we've never heard of before, or the LinkedIn requests immediately followed by, "Hi dear, please buy my backlinks." I do think that makes it especially difficult. I think we don't get, at least in my experience, I've not been put in the same basket, but I do think that a lot of people do get put in that basket. And obviously, like, scam and spam artists are like constantly evolving, to the point where I remember when I moved to the agency I'm with now, I was getting emails from people being like, "Hey, is this actually you?" Because people were thinking that I was being impersonated by one of these spammers. Is a tactic. So it definitely does. But then I think in any industry, spam, like you said, can come into it.
Definitely. And even if you don't get put into the same bracket, basket, bucket, whatever we're talking. You can tell I'm an SEO there.
Yeah.
What's the joke? An SEO walks into a bar, pub, tavern, cafe. Anyway, I digress. Even if you don't get put into the same box as these spammy people, I think it can have a negative viewpoint.
I think overarching.
On the industry or a particular area, because people have just been bombarded with these messages and they get so sick of it that they kind of lose faith in it all.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think that's exactly one of the issues, and sort of one of the reasons why I wanted to come and talk about this is that, look, not all of us that are doing this are the same as those people. Some of us want to use the strategy and want to actually go further than just giving you a list of domains, and that's something really important to consider when you're creating that bias behind someone. Is, look, like, is this person trusted in the industry? I guess EEAT, but for people.
Yes. Very true. When you just said EAT, sometimes when I say it out loud, I'll say eat, because they're always adding E's on it, aren't they? So people are looking at me like, "You okay? Have you sorted out your eat?" I'm fine. I've just got to fill in, like, get.
I'm gonna absolutely start saying it like that.
It's not eat just anymore. It's eat.
Just watch what the clients' faces when I just go eat.
I think you'll be fine. I think you'll get more clients, actually.
There we go. Yeah, I've learned a sales tactic here.
So, we always like to leave our listeners with some practical advice, tips that they can start implementing. And already I'm thinking the biggest thing that people, all of us can do is check in with your bias, for one.
Yes.
So, yeah. And it's easier said than done, but I think it's really important. It goes down to self-awareness and understanding what your biases are and why you have those biases, being curious, because then you can, once you're aware of those biases, the next time someone says something to you and your bias comes up, you're like, oh no, that's a bias, and hopefully you can address it, and yeah, it's a happier situation for everyone.
If I was to say it, it'd be just, if someone has an opinion and you're discussing it with them, give them the time to voice that opinion before you come to a judgment. Judge them based on what their opinion is, not what field they work in.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. Don't just shut down just because...
Shut down. Hear what they have to say first. Because sometimes, especially if you are working with someone, I don't know, you're a content SEO and you're talking to an off-page SEO, there's something that I could say that will put a different perspective that you wouldn't have within the sort of echo chamber that you've got of other content SEOs.
Definitely, definitely. And it's being curious as well, because I might have a conversation with someone, and let's give podcasting as an example, and I believe in certain best practices, but then when I'm talking to someone else, they might think differently or have a different viewpoint or think differently about what constitutes a good podcast, for example. But instead of being like, I'm right, you're wrong, it's about being respectful of people's opinions and asking curious questions. So when someone says something that's different or you've not heard it before, be like, oh, why is that? Can you tell me why? Because once you start asking those sort of questions, you'll be like, oh, well, that does make sense. And I, yeah, this person definitely knows what they're talking about.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Ask more questions.
Yes.
What about for those who are struggling with imposter syndrome or feel like they've been sort of pigeonholed into a box?
Quite honestly, one of the biggest things that for me I found that got me over, well, began to help me get over the imposter syndrome, was I just started posting on LinkedIn. You'd be really surprised, even just seeing like a like come through from someone that is in that. Say you're posting about something maybe a little bit more technical than off, like if you were an off-page SEO like me, getting a like from like a technical SEO being like, okay, I'm right about this, they're agreeing with me, like how much that can actually help.
Yeah.
But also understand that likely your connections and stuff aren't going to be in that field, so if you don't get that, then that's okay.
And I suppose I completely get your advice there of posting, because yeah, you'll get a like or someone will comment and you'll feel, oh yes, I do know what I'm on about. But also you are going to get your keyboard warriors as well, aren't you?
You do, yeah. No, you absolutely do. And that is something that you need to be prepared for, is you'll always, you could say something, but it's how I remember posting once, and I can't even remember what the post was about, but someone came back to me and sort of clapped back, sort of saying I was wrong, and I just asked them questions, and then actually it helped my understanding as well. So take it, if someone does disagree with you or clap back or however you want to call it, actually take it as an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. What about in person? So you were saying sort of at conferences and in person, you did say that you think it's getting better, and
it's that's getting a lot better here.
But is there anything that people can do if they're feeling like a certain way when they're out and about, they're at industry events and they're with other people and they're feeling that imposter syndrome?
I quite often, when I get imposter syndrome-y, I will try and just go and speak to one person on their own. Mm-hmm. So rather than approaching a group, which is obviously scary, a lot of us in SEO are neurodivergent, but sometimes that one person in the corner is, you know, kind of looking for conversation themselves, that they're maybe nervous to approach someone. So you can just go and say hello. You don't necessarily need to talk about SEO straight away, and you don't need to have a discussion. You can ask and be interested in what they do. They'll likely return the favour. And then from there, you can maybe have a discussion about something a bit more general and then build your confidence up. you don't need to jump off a cliff to take the first jump. You can take little steps.
Definitely. And I'm thinking as well that, so when you're at a conference like Brighton SEO, when you're at the lunchtime or you're at a networking or you're like in one of the breaks, because it's a bit like there is so much wonderful information, but it's sort of information overload. Yeah. When someone talks to me about something that has nothing to do with SEO, it's like, oh, yes, I needed this.
This is lovely.
And then once you build a rapport, and you never know, you might find similar interests. Like back in the day, I used to play roller derby. The amount of SEOs that I've met that also play roller derby is lovely. And then but it doesn't have to be roller derby. I'm not saying that everyone needs to start roller derby and then everyone will have a common interest.
What do you mean? I just signed up.
just straight away. But like, I think once you find a common ground or like just chatting, you build up your confidence and then you can talk about different bits and bobs. And also, a thought that came into my head as well is, rather than leading with what you do, you could sort of lead with what results that you've got for some clients.
Yeah.
Because then once you've led with that, that's a nice, I don't want to say hook and clickbait in real life. That's not what I mean here. But when you like say, oh, we did this thing, this was the results, because that person was like, oh, what did you do? And then you're like, oh, well, just so happens. So maybe there's different ways that you can voice things, isn't there?
Oh, no, absolutely. That's it. And so even just sometimes just sitting and listening to someone else talk, the amount of times I've had some of the most interesting conversations where I've basically not said a word, but I've let someone talk at me and I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of the time we've all seen it where you walk past someone again in the hallway or whatever, and you give each other a wave or a little head nod, or and then you're like, I have a friend now.
We want head nods, and you never know, we might get a high five at some point in the future.
You never know.
So true. And also, I just want to pick up this fact as well. Imposter syndrome. The whole word imposter, you're not an imposter, because you have every right to be there like anyone else. It's not like you've broken into someone's house. That's an imposter. Do you know what I mean? Like, so sometimes it's just, I know it's silly, but like, how can you be an imposter? Because you have every right to be there as everyone else, because you want to learn, you've bought a ticket, maybe you're speaking, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what your job title is, it doesn't matter your level, everyone has a right to be at these industry events. And we just need to sort of, how can you be an imposter? It's like physically impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely, this is it. I think a lot of that, at least how I used to feel, was that I was kind of like, there was an inner circle and I was constantly looking in.
Okay, clicky.
Clicky, yeah. But then I think that's just within my own head. And sometimes you do need to remind yourself that of a lot of these anxieties, you either will not be the only person having that anxiety, but likely the anxiety is like without reason.
And you're so true. So it might be in your head a little bit, and it might be a projection, because you're feeling a certain way and then you'll read into how people are acting with you or what have you. But I think at the same time, like you say, everyone has their own anxieties. Everyone's worried about their own thing. And I think where clicks happen is because humans are interesting, right? We want to find our person. We want to find someone that we can feel comfortable with. So maybe when it's feeling clicky is because there's a group that's been established and that is what's happening. But yeah, like on the other side, it goes back to school, isn't it? Like your different cliques, your different groups. You're not going to be for everyone and everyone's not going to be for you. And that's why it's important to find your own people and your own tribe and your own like friends, that you can make. And yeah, that's
nerd.
Okay.
I was a chess nerd emo kid.
See, we'd have been friends with the emo, but I've never played chess. I'd have a go.
Love chess.
Love chess. There's got to be other chess wizards.
There is a lot of SEOs that love chess. I guess it's kind of optimizations at the end of the day. optimizing your position.
Your physician?
Your position up on the board.
Right, that makes a lot more sense. I thought you just hit me with some chess lingo then. I was like, ooh, what is it? What does that mean? Lovely. Well, we are going to have to wrap up, Lydia, because I feel like we could carry on talking for a lot longer.
Yeah, me too. But I understand.
We need to... All good things must come to an end. Before we do that, there are always three questions that we ask all of our guests. First one is, what is the main takeaway from today's episode, please?
Give people a chance to talk to you before judging them on the type of SEO that they are. Give people your time.
Yes. Get biases get in the bin.
Yes.
You don't want that.
Yes.
Biases get in the bin. That should be the title of this podcast episode. But yes, good takeaway. Best career advice you've ever received?
Just do the damn thing. One of my friends that's a bit of a social media whiz, sort of influencer on LinkedIn, used to do this as a trend, and a challenge, not a trend, and it's the best advice I've ever received.
I like
just do it.
It.
Not to quote Nike, for legal reasons.
Yeah, let's not get podcast into trouble. But yes, just do the thing, because perfection is the biggest barrier that stops a lot of wonderful things from happening. So I could not agree more. And my last one is someone awesome to follow in the industry. Or not in the industry. Could be anyone.
I think one of the people that at the moment everyone should be following is a guy named Freddie Chat. He's an e-commerce SEO. He's just about to release the Summer of SEO newsletter series, which is featuring some incredible SEOs from across the industry. But other than that, he's a really nice guy and really worth checking out for some, especially if you're working in the e-commerce space. 100% suggest you give him a little follow.
What I will do is I'll make sure that I pop Freddie Chat in the show notes, and also I will pop his newsletter in the show notes as well. Lovely. And where can people continue the conversation? Is there anything that you want to promote? Is there anything that you want to push people to?
If anyone wants to continue the conversation, I'm most actively found on LinkedIn. So under my name, Lydia Fox. Or if you do want to have a chat, you can go to my website at lydiafox.com and send me an email if you're not on LinkedIn.
Fabulous. LinkedIn is my chosen platform.
Yeah.
I don't really get involved much with it. The others. One is enough for me.
I'm a bit everywhere, in all honesty. You can't really escape me.
Dropping all that knowledge left, right and centre.
You know what? I try my best. It's more soaking in the knowledge from others.
Best way to be. Right. That brings us to the end, and the only thing left to say is if you enjoy what me and Tasmin are doing with the podcast, you can support us, you can give us a one-off donation, which costs the same as your preferred hot beverage from your preferred coffee shop, and that helps covers the cost of having a podcast. And another way is you can help spread the word of our podcast and episodes to other people. So next time you're listening to an episode and you're thinking, crikey, give me a name, Lydia, any name. I've put you on the spot here, but I need you. Give me a name.
Can I call a friend?
Call it Albert. Right, we go with Albert. That's the first name that's come into my brain. Don't know why. But you're like, Albert would love this episode. Why not share it with him? And yes, that would be very helpful to me and Tasmin. Right, Lydia, shall we say goodbye, take care of ourselves until next time?
Yes, and thank you ever so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed being here.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Loved the conversation. And I just realised I should have said, look after yourself rather than look after ourself. I'm not having really good times with my intro and outro today, am I?
We're all just trying our best out here.
It's not like I've been podcasting since 2018. Right, bye.
Search has changed, but most strategies haven't. If you're still measuring success purely on rankings and clicks, you're missing where real decisions are happening. Previsible helps brands understand and grow their visibility across AI platforms so you're not just present, you're chosen. If you want to see where your brand stands and how to build trust in AI-driven search today, visit previsible.io.